Hi everyone, this is Dr. Steve with you once again for the mindfulness series, what we call the Weekly Wisdom Lessons, which are an expansion of our weekly wisdom tips that you might have read on my blog or from having received my weekly newsletter, the Weekly Wisdom Tips. In fact, if you're not already receiving those, I would encourage you to go to my website, and you'll find a form in the upper right-hand corner of the website where you can sign up for the Weekly Wisdom Tips. And more importantly and interestingly, by signing up there, you have access to a quiz that we've created called the Mindfulness Quiz that will give you your mindfulness quotient. And if you've been following these at all, you understand the importance of mindfulness as a mental skill set that gives you access to your own thoughts and emotions and your own beliefs and values, so that you have some command over your lifestyle and your prosperity, your happiness, and pretty much everything that that comes from how our minds operate and how we operate them. So this is a really useful quiz. It gives you some data as to how mindful you are and what sort of consequences might exist for you if you haven't really achieved a high enough level of mindfulness. So I encourage you to go ahead and take that quiz. Even if you're already on our mailing list, there's no harm in filling it out once again. You won't be receiving duplicates of my emails because the system that we use automatically removes the duplicates. So feel free to take the quiz. I also want to thank those of you who have been sending me your letters, emails about this series, this set of weekly wisdom lessons that I've been doing here on these audio programs, and eventually you'll probably be listening to this as a podcast as well. I want to thank you for your emails, and I would also like to request something, and that is, if you wouldn't mind, rather than just sending me an email, would you mind giving your feedback in the form of comments at the bottom of the blog post? So if you go to my blog, that may be where you are right now, you'll see that immediately below the play bar for this audio, there's an opportunity to leave comments, and we'd love to have your comments and, you know, start a bit of a dialogue pertaining to both the audio and the written words that go along with this week's program. So I hope you do that. You'll also notice, by the way, that there is a like button and a tweet button right here on the blog that you can use to share this with your Facebook community and your Twitter community. And that would be a terrific thing for you to do. It takes about a half a second to just push that button, and it just shows others that there's value to this and that it's worth listening. So I hope you'll take the time to do that. Finally, one more little bit of housekeeping, and that is for those of you who have not yet signed up for the Hypnosis for Change calls, which come in with my Mindful Selling and Leadership membership, I encourage you to do that. Each week we prepare an audio program, which is a hypnotic induction on the topic of the week. So this week we'll be offering you a 15 to 20 minute hypnotic induction, essentially about cynicism and about appreciation. I guess you'd say cynicism versus appreciation. So the topic for today is cynicism and appreciation. You know, it's interesting that we have a strong tendency to want to know everything. We want to feel that we're in the know, that we're intelligent and knowledgeable, and that we can't be fooled. Nobody could pull one over on us. And what I've found fascinating, you all know that I'm a magician, that I perform magic shows and what we call close-up magic, where I approach small groups of people at a cocktail party or at a restaurant, in an environment where I'm performing for small groups at a time, and it gives me an opportunity to really get to know the people I'm performing for and very quickly size up how people operate in the world. I could tell by the way they respond to magic what their operating principles are in the world. And you know, it's interesting that I'll often find that people who don't enjoy magic, and thank goodness there are very few of those, that people who don't enjoy magic are often people who have extremely low self-esteem. They don't feel very, very good about themselves. And that means that when they see magic and they can't explain it, it's tantamount to feeling stupid. And if they can't figure it out, the next best thing for them to do is to pretend that they have figured it out. So I'll often see people who will just give a knowing look and sort of act as if, oh yeah, that's nothing. I know how that's done. And it's a shame because they're robbing themselves of the opportunity to experience astonishment or joy or humor or whatever that particular presentation might be able to offer and what a lot of other people get from it, they just don't get. And they feel that they're somehow ahead of the game by knowing or at least pretending to know how things are done, by at least not letting the magician think that he's gotten one over on them. The whole world sort of comes down to who knows more and who's fooling who and you know, just not letting yourself be taken in, not letting yourself be fooled or bamboozled or stumped or controlled. And, you know, granted, most of us don't want to be controlled, and I don't want to be controlled either, but by the same token, we benefit from what in theater we call the willing suspension of disbelief. That is a willingness to stop disbelieving. You know, if you're in the movies or you're at a live show, you don't sit there thinking, well, this is just a movie or this is just a show, because it robs you of the appreciation of the experience. Instead, you allow yourself, you kind of make a deal with yourself going in, that although this is a show, I'm gonna allow myself to believe that it's real. And in that way, I'll be able to feel all the feelings and be taken by the story and experience emotions that I otherwise would not feel. I have a new television set that has it's high definition, and it's got this quality. They call it the soap opera effect. And what that is that sometimes particular shows, you're watching a movie, but it almost feels as if you're watching a soap opera. The screen is so crisp and so brightly lit that it almost feels like you're the director standing behind the camera watching it be filmed. And although it's hyper-realism, in a way it feels less real. It feels like, oh, this is just a movie. This is just, you know, you get out of the story because you're so much being the observer of the process of making it. I don't know if I can explain it, but if you've ever seen a television that has that high-def thing going, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's remarkable how it can take you right out of the experience of the story. And that's a troubling thing, because we want to be taken in by the story. We want to be moved emotionally. And when we're not, we feel empty. James Hillman was a philosopher and an author. He talked about dreams. And he said that one of the great, and this is not an exact quote, this is essentially what James Hillman said, was that one of the great tragedies is the obsession that we have with analyzing our dreams intellectually, that we feel the need to have an intellectual interpretation for our dreams. And what he recommended was that we, upon awakening, just sit quietly and comfortably and allow the imagery of the dreams to sort of just wash over us, rather than having to come up with a scientific explanation or a symbolic representation for each piece of the dream. He felt that dreams really are the domain of the subconscious mind, or the domain perhaps of the right brain, the non-linear brain, the non-thinking logical brain, but more the imagery of the artistic brain. And that when we fail to sit with the imagery and we rush to explanation, we lose something. That yes, we might come up with a plausible explanation, but are we fed by that? Do we feel better about ourselves as a result? Or might we feel better about ourselves if we could just, you know, breathe in and breathe out and feel the feelings, feel the imagery of the experience, and let that be enough? In other words, to stop trying to figure everything out. You know, a friend of mine was joking. He said, you know, a lot of this is about, you know, the left mind, the right mind, and he said that, you know, you've got to be in your right mind, otherwise you're not in your right mind. And so the right brain is our area of imagery, our non-linear, our artistic selves. And, you know, even in business, even in the world of commerce, being able to tap into your right brain, to tap into the quality of artistry and emotion and joy, makes you more magnetic. If you're a salesperson or if you're a manager, having a well-developed right brain is a very useful tool. Granted, it's important to have a strong left brain, good logic, good rationality, good pragmatic skills, but that alone doesn't do it. You know, it's just a sad state of affairs for those who have no joy in their lives, to live with good logical conclusions, but no happiness, no real happiness. I think of the acquisition of knowledge that a lot of us are addicted to as being very much like the acquisition of money. You know, we say that if somebody becomes too obsessed with acquiring money, that we call that greed, that's greedy. Now, we don't think that the acquisition of knowledge might be the same thing, that acquiring something, whether it be knowledge or money or God knows what else, power, is in fact a form of greed. And humility, as a completely opposite quality or value, is a willingness to accept what is and to not feel belittled by having less than. You know, somebody who's poor can still be greedy, wanting to not be poor, or they can be appreciative of what they do have and humble and loving and accepting of what is. And this is true of knowledge. You know, not that it's wrong to try to acquire knowledge, but to be so obsessed with having to know everything to the point where you're willing to pretend that you know everything even when you don't, this is a sickness, and we need to overcome it. We need to be okay being okay. We need to be okay just being. And part of that requires a willingness to sit with uncertainty, to be okay with limbo. I'm speaking to myself as much as I am to anybody else, because there are times when I feel that I need to know something and I need to know it now, because I just have much less tolerance for those moments of ambiguity or a lack of knowing than I'd like. And so for me and for you, I say, let's calm down. Let's allow ourselves to be a little bit less omniscient and a little bit more joyful, a little bit more happy and peaceful and comfortable being who we are, with a quiet mind and a peaceful heart. Let us walk through our days joyful and appreciative. So when you see that magician performing, let go of the need to know how it's done and just appreciate that it is being done. See the artistry in it. See the humor in it. And when you awaken from your dreams, just allow them to be and appreciate them for what they are. And when you look back over your days and notice that there are things that you didn't necessarily know how to do, let yourself off the hook. Let yourself be okay with that too. It's really all right to just accept what you know and accept what you don't know. And to let go of the cynical quality that many of us have, the quality that we need to know everything and be intelligent and can't be fooled. Let's let that go and replace it with humility and what's called beginner's mind. Suzuki Roshi wrote a book called Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, and put a high value on the ability to experience each moment as if it were brand new, not knowing what comes next, not knowing why it exists as it does, but just living, as I like to say, with curiosity. So again, letting go of the need to know, opening to life with curiosity and wonder and amazement, and that right brain, mystical, wonderful place that makes our lives richer, so that we don't become the kinds of people in our lives that eventually acquire so much and still end up feeling completely and totally empty. Is harkening back to the quote that I put in our weekly wisdom tips that was from Oscar Wilde, who said that a cynic is someone who knows the price of everything and the value of nothing. I hope that you give yourself the luxury of beginning to understand the value of things, even at the expense of knowing their price. Today we'll follow this up by offering you the weekly Hypnosis for Change call as part of the Mindfulness series, and if you're part of our Mindful Selling and Leadership monthly program, then you'll have access to that simply by typing in your access codes, your ID and password, into the a membership login area on my website, stevetaubman.com. If you haven't already signed up for those and you're interested in becoming part of that program, go to stevetaubman.com and you'll notice there's a red button on the right side about halfway down. Push that button and it'll take you to a portal where you can sign up for those newsletters. For those calls. And I hope that you join us. I think you'll get a lot of benefit from the experience of taking this message to a deeper level. I want to thank you very much for listening. I hope I've given you something to think about. Once again, I do encourage you to share your thoughts about this message in the form of your comments below or your comments on Facebook or Twitter or simply by liking this. The more I could hear from you and have this be a dialogue, the more rich the experience is for me as well and for the others who have an opportunity to stumble on past us here. So thanks again. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I will see you on the Hypnosis for Change calls.